because that's what he do. This is Spoilers Podcast for June 20th, 2013. Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to Spoilers Podcast. It has been a while, so thank you all for listening and joining us to talk about the past week in wrestling. I'm Ben Gartland, and here with my great co-host, Graham Matthews. What's going on, man?
How's it going, Ben? Doing great. Great to be back here on Spoilers, ready to talk about this past Sunday night. A lot of great action, a lot of great surprises, a lot of great wrestling. Excited to talk about tonight on Spoilers.
Indeed, indeed. And let's get started with some payback results. We have the pre-show Sheamus versus Damian Sandow. Sheamus wins that one with a bro kick. Opening up the show, Intercontinental title match, Curtis Axel versus The Miz versus the champion Wade Barrett. And this match was very good, and I love the ending. Curtis Axel wins after Miz puts Wade Barrett in the figure four leg lock, but then Curtis Axel covers Wade Barrett and wins his first Intercontinental Championship. So we have Divas title match, AJ Lee and Caitlin, pretty good feud leading up to it. AJ Lee wins her first Divas Championship after making Caitlin tap out. United States title match, Kane versus Dean Ambrose. Dean Ambrose retains his title as Kane is counted out. Then there's an announcement that Rob Van Dam, the whole effing show, will return at Money in the Bank next month. World Heavyweight title match, Alberto Del Rio versus Dolph Ziggler. Del Rio wins the World Heavyweight Championship, and he is the new World Heavyweight Champion. Chris Jericho versus the returning CM Punk, loud ovation from the Chicago crowd. Very good match. CM Punk hits the GTS twice and wins that match. Then we have tag team title match, Team RK-No, Randy Orton and Daniel Bryan versus Seth Rollins and Roman Reigns from The Shield. The Shield wins that one after Rollins hits his finisher on Daniel Bryan. Then we have our final match of the evening, Three Stages of Hell for the WWE title. Ryback versus John Cena. Stage one is the Lumberjack match. Ryback wins that one after he hits Shell Shock Tables match. For stage two, Cena wins this one with an AA through a table. And then stage three, an ambulance match. One of my favorite moments of the year so far. John Cena wins this one, sends Ryback through the roof of an ambulance with an AA to win the ambulance match. John Cena retains the title and the pay-per-view ends. So, Graham, what was your kind of overall impressions of the show?
Overall, I really enjoyed the show. In my personal opinion, I found it to be the best pay-per-view of 2013 up to this point. Lots of action. Love the outcomes for the most part. I mean, a lot of the matches were predictable. The only match that I got wrong was the World Championship match. But sometimes predictability isn't a bad thing. It is right. We had an amazing season and buyback. Not the most exciting match, but it was enough for me. It was entertaining enough that it wasn't good overall. I know it shouldn't have made the end of the show. CM versus Jericho definitely should have closed the show over Cena and Ryback. But that aside, CM Punk making his long way to return to WWE, really enjoyed that. Him teasing the tension between him and Paul Heyman, which would follow up the next night on Monday Night Raw. We have three new champions after Sunday night in Curtis Axel. Very, very special moment with him winning the title that his father made famous, Mr. Perfect, on Father's Day. Very, very fitting, very perfect, no pun intended. We have AJ Lee, the new Divas champion, after defeating Caitlin. What was the Divas match up to the of the year up to this point? Really, really enjoyed that match. And, of course, we have a new world champion in Alberto Del Rio in a controversial double turn with Del Rio defeating Dolph Ziggler after targeting the head of Dolph Ziggler, which was concussed for about a month. So that was very controversial. Really enjoyed that. So a lot of surprising things coming out of Payback, a lot of things to look forward to for the rest of the summer that kind of led into the next episode of Monday Night Raw. So, yeah, overall, I love this pay-per-view. And the Chicago crowd was really icing on the cake. They've always been a great wrestling town. Money in the Bank 2011, best pay-per-view of 2011. Extreme Rules 2012, one of the best pay-per-views of last year. And then this year is no exception. Chicago definitely added a lot to this pay-per-view and made for an electric atmosphere all night long.
Definitely, definitely. I'm always very glad to see when a WWE pay-per-view is in Chicago. It's always going to be a hot crowd. It's always going to be a good show. That's just the way it is. I love all the new champions. Curtis Axel is going to be a great Intercontinental champion. And for him to win on Father's Day with that finish, that's something I've really never seen before. The cover while he was in, there was in the figure four leg lock, very creative on WWE's part. AJ Lee, the new Divas champion, we all kind of knew that she would win the Divas champion over Caitlyn, but it's so nice to see her get her title. And it really continues the feud, as we saw in the next night, because now she's a very marketable diva that a lot of people know. So it's going to be interesting to see where they take the title from there. And then, finally, New World Heavyweight Champion Alberto Del Rio, Dolph Ziggler, not appearing on Monday night. He's taking advantage of an injured Dolph Ziggler, wins the title. And you know what? With the way that Del Rio did on Sunday and his promo on Monday, I'm actually kind of excited about this world title ring. What about you?
About like Del Rio title ring?
Mm-hmm.
Not necessarily, but I do like the fact that it surprised the fans in doing the double turn. This is the first double turn that we've gotten since, I believe, Bret Hart and Stone Cold from wrestling. The fact that no one saw it coming definitely adds to the moment, because at this point in wrestling, at this day and age, everyone sees everything coming with the internet and whatever, and a lot of people were expecting a double turn at Payback, just not in the world title match. A lot of people saw it coming in the CM Punk versus Jericho matchup, which would have made more sense. However, in this fact, I don't like Del Rio as world champion. I don't like Del Rio in general. And I did think that the face turn was beneficial to his character at first, but in the long run of things, it didn't really work out for him. He was world champion for about 3 months, but he was kind of getting over, but it grew stale after very, very quickly. So I'm glad he's back to his evil ways. He got good heat from beating Ziggler, probably the best heat that he's ever gotten in his career up to this point. He got good heat the next time on Monday Night Raw, so I'm not necessarily excited about his title reign per se, but I am excited for Ziggler eventually winning it back, and which will be a very special moment.
Definitely, definitely. And I think one of the good things about Alberto Del Rio being a heel is it allows Ricardo Rodriguez to kind of play off of that. Because now Ricardo Rodriguez can just keep the fans by doing the Alberto Del Rio announcement as long as he possibly can, and that draws the heat. So Ricardo Rodriguez can draw off of that. Del Rio can draw off of that. It works better for him as a heel, and I really like this move.
Yeah, most definitely. No one saw it coming, like I said before. Very well done. I'm not a fan of Del Rio, but I do like the fact they finally changed Dolph Ziggler to a babyface. His crowd reactions are very, very evident of that, so I think it was only a matter of time. This is a great way to pull it off.
Mm-hmm. Certainly, and I'm very excited to see where this feud goes from here. And now, one thing I really want to talk about, it was announced at Money in the Bank, Rob Van Dam returning at Money in the Bank in Philadelphia. That's going to be awesome.
Could not be any more excited for this. RVD has been competing in TNA from 2010 to 2013. Wasn't very high in TNA. I am a fan of Rob Van Dam, but did not seem all that motivated in TNA for the 3 years that he was there. So when it was announced back in March that his contract was up, and he was eligible to return to the WWE, and he showed up at the Hall of Fame ceremony at WrestleMania 29 a few months ago, I was ecstatic because I thought he had re-signed with the WWE. Not the case at the time, but it is the case now. The crowd popped forward on Sunday Night Chicago, exploded when they saw the video package, which was very well done, by the way. Lots of possibilities for Rob Van Dam. You can do RVD, CM Punk, which is a dream match I've been waiting for the longest time. Those two, Daniel Bryan, Dolph Ziggler, Wade Barrett, Cesaro, the possibilities are endless. So I'm very, very glad that RVD is back in WWE, and promoting it for the Money in the Bank pay-per-view is even better. They're going to be in Philly, ECW territory next month, so it's a perfect place for him to return, and advertising in a month out gives the pay-per-view something to look forward to, a lot more intrigue. We don't know what role he's going to be playing at the event yet, but that will probably be confirmed in weeks to come. But yeah, I think it's a very good business move, a nice surprise for those watching Payback, and yeah, I really like the move to bring back RVD to WWE.
I do, too. My only concern is how long he's going to stay and what the quality of his matches are going to be like. Like, they're really hyping his comeback. They have something big planned for him, and I think that he's going to win one of the Money in the Bank briefcases, or he's going to be put into a title opportunity at the pay-per-view. My only concern is he's not necessarily spring chicken. He's getting up there in age. He still has very good ability, but I don't know. I just don't want I don't want him to become someone who stays too long in the wrestling business, and that's the last image that people have of his career of a declining superstar. I want him to go out on top, like the superstar that he is, and that's my only concern. If he does come back, I hope he's in top shape, and I hope they have something good planned for him, because I'm not sure how long he can be staying for.
Yeah, I know what you mean. And he was in good shape in TNA for the 3 years that he was there. He had a lot of good matches, but the problem was that none of those matches that he had in TNA were all that memorable. So that's why I wanted to WWE, where he's on a bigger stage, much more importance, and a good way to end out his career. He's in his 40s, so I don't necessarily see him winning a world championship, especially not the WWE championship. I mean, the RVD Cena match from One Night Stand 2006, great matchup, great angle. And I was very happy to know, looking back on it, one of the best summer angles he's done in the last 10 years. So I don't see them going back the Cena RVD direction, them fighting over the title, so I don't see RVD being inserted in that Money in the Bank ladder match. Maybe the SmackDown one for the world title, and then they can have him go for the world championship. I don't know, though. If they don't, it depends if they continue Del Rio Ziggler going forward. I assume they will, going into Money in the Bank. I'm not sure about SummerSlam. But they don't even need to have him win it. Just the fact that he's in it will add intrigue to the matchup in regards to if he will win it or not. I see him going after Curtis Axel's Intercontinental Championship come SummerSlam. Because remember, RVD, a Paul Heyman guy. So RVD versus the fellow Paul Heyman guy in Curtis Axel over the Intercontinental Championship will not only benefit the title itself, but will help benefit Axel in defeating a former WWE champion if he was to defeat the whole effing show at SummerSlam. So that's one thing that I would love to see this upcoming summer if they end up going that direction.
Yeah, I think the most likely possibility is he's going to win the SmackDown Money in the Bank contract and go after the World Heavyweight title, especially if Dolph Ziggler can come back and re-win that title. Those could be some great matches. Dolph Ziggler, Rob Van Dam, or even Del Rio and Rob Van Dam. There's a lot of good possibilities. And I think that since they're hyping it so much, he's not coming back to go after a mid-card title. He's going to go after a main event title. So that's the most likely scenario I see. I wouldn't be upset if he went for the Intercontinental Championship or the United States Championship, but I see a world title to him in the world title picture as more likely.
Yeah, I'll be considering whatever role he plays upon his return. And you mentioned this before as to what schedule he will have upon his return to WWE. It's not exactly confirmed at this point. I've seen very differing reports from various different websites. He could come back as a full-time roster member, which I don't think is possible. I've seen various interviews from RVD in the last few years, and he has said one of the reasons why he left WWE back in 2007 was because of the road schedule and how it was too hectic for him. So I don't really see him being an active member of the roster week in and week out. Also don't see it being a one-off appearance at Money in the Bank. I see him as an official staple of the WWE roster from Money in the Bank forward, just not an everyday member. I see him probably playing the role of what Jericho does now, if you know what I mean, maybe just a few shows here and there, maybe every Raw, not a lot of live events. I think that probably works the best for him, and, you know, do a few pay-per-views if he'd like. I think that's the best deal for him, where he's not being forced to every single live event, every single Raw, SmackDown, main event, whatever. That's how people get burned out quickly, and being in his 40s, probably not the best thing for him. So I would like to see him back on a part-time basis, not part-time like The Rock where he's gone every few months, more on a Jericho kind of level where he is at every Raw for a certain amount of time. He does the pay-per-views, he does SmackDowns, but he doesn't necessarily have to do all the live events and all that such like the everyday member rosters, everyday superstars would do.
Yeah, definitely. And like you said, whatever role he's in, I'm going to be content with. I just hope that he's put into a good storyline and he can thrive in. So let's talk a little bit. Let's move on over to the WWE Championship. John Cena retains after a pretty nice three stages of the hell match with Ryback. And now, and going off of what we saw on Monday Night Raw, it looks like John Cena is going to be facing Mark Henry coming up in the next couple of weeks. What's your feelings on this upcoming feud with them?
With Cena and Mark Henry, or Cena and Ryback, the match from Sunday night?
Well, both, since we're still on the topic of Payback.
Okay. Well, the match itself, I somewhat enjoyed. Like I said before, it was predictable. Ryback had to lose here. We are coming up on the one-year anniversary of the last match they won on pay-per-view, Money in the Bank 2012. So I don't know if they have him win at the upcoming pay-per-view. I don't know what match he's going to even be in. He wasn't even on Raw. In the storyline, they said he wasn't eligible to compete because he was out with an injury or something like that. I'm not sure. But one thing I will say is that I am very, very glad the Cena and Ryback feud is now over. It had potential at first. It had potential when these guys were still both faced. But they had to jump the gun and turn Ryback heel because CM Punk left. They had no top stars on Raw. So they had to turn him. I understand that. It wasn't the smartest move, though. It did not make for an intriguing feud whatsoever. It was decent at points, but it bombed in the long run. So I'm glad it's finally over. I don't know what they do with Ryback, but I am glad they're going to be moving into Cena versus Mark Henry. Their segment from Monday Night Raw was absolutely excellent. Mark Henry deserves every acting award possible for that performance he put on Monday night. I thought going into it, it was going to be work, but then when I saw him mention family members start tearing up, I was kind of convinced that he was going to be retiring. I'm like, oh my God, this is Edge all over again, because I thought that was going to be work and ended up being real. I thought it was going to be Edge all over again with him retiring. So I'm glad that isn't the case. He fooled us all and is going to be contending for the WWE Championship at Money in the Bank. I'm looking forward to that matchup. We don't see as much of Cena versus Henry as we usually do, so I'm glad it's a fresh matchup. Mark Henry is finally getting that last run in the main event scene before he eventually retires, so I'm glad about that. And I'm just confused, though. Just one question. We were talking about this a number of months ago when it was first confirmed that we were going to be getting Cena and Ryback at the Extreme Rules pay-per-view. Why didn't we get Mark Henry versus John Cena back in Extreme Rules? Because, I mean, we were talking about this a number of months ago, like I said before, but why didn't we just get Cena versus Ryback versus Henry at Extreme Rules rather than just Cena versus Ryback? This match, Cena and Henry, should have happened a long time ago. I originally thought that it was due to the fact that maybe Cena versus Henry is a buy rate as Cena versus Ryback does, but if they're doing Cena versus Ryback now, if they're doing Cena versus Henry now, then that's not the case. So, but I guess it's better late than never that we get Henry in the WWE title picture, and I'm looking forward to him contending for the title next month of Money in the Bank.
Yeah, and I with your point on John Cena and Ryback and Henry and all that, I think back then Ryback was a bigger draw than Mark Henry, and John Cena versus Ryback would have been a bigger draw. But now you add this fake retirement work into the storyline, and suddenly Mark Henry is a bigger star than Ryback, and he's going to draw more buys for Money in the Bank. And so I think that's why they waited this long. And I think this is the big summer storyline. It's Mark Henry. And I think this is his last run. I think they'll make it at Money in the Bank or SummerSlam. Is there a pay-per-view between SummerSlam and Money in the Bank?
It's Money in the Bank in July and then SummerSlam, yeah.
Yeah, that's what I thought. I think this feud will go on for two pay-per-views, and SummerSlam will be the SummerSlam may be Mark Henry's retirement match. John Cena may challenge him, title versus career, and that'll be it. And I think that's the big storyline for the summer, and I'm really excited to see where this goes from here.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it, too. I mean, it's been rumored for a long time that we might be getting Cena versus Daniel Bryan for the WWE Championship, either at Money in the Bank or SummerSlam, and I'm fine with not it happening this summer. I think they could wait it out, just have Bryan feed with Orton for the time being, go for running the Money in the Bank briefcases at Money in the Bank. I don't know what you do with them at SummerSlam, but you could always do that feed for the time being, and then do Cena versus Bryan. It's a big-time matchup. You can either do that at Survivor Series, wait next month, or wait until next year at WrestleMania. I'm not sure, but Bryan's going to be a top star in WWE, no doubt. But for the time being, Henry versus Cena is a good feed for the summer. Cena goes over, I'm fine with it, but I would love to see from the way that Mark Henry's been talking about the WWE Championship on Raw this past week when he said that he hadn't won, which isn't necessarily true because he hasn't held the IC, US, or tag titles, but I guess those are irrelevant anyway. But nonetheless, the fact that he was talking about how he's never won the WWE title to sign that he might win it at Money in the Bank shocked the world like he did when Orton and Clean and been a champion since 2011 and won the World Championship. Do I see Mark Henry winning clean over Cena on pay-per-view? Absolutely not. But you never know. I'm looking forward to his possible title run if it ends up happening. But even still, I'm looking forward to Cena and Henry in the next few weeks and should definitely be better than versus Cena in their feud from the last few months.
Here's what I see happening. Henry versus Cena, Money in the Bank. Henry finally gets his WWE title. Daniel Bryan wins the Money in the Bank briefcase for the WWE Championship. Cena and Henry have the rematch at SummerSlam, title versus career match, and then you also throw in the storyline of Daniel Bryan could cash in at any time, and boom, you've got a big match at one of the big four pay-per-views. And so that's kind of how I would book it, but WWE may have something different in mind.
I would have no problem with that. The only two issues that I have with Daniel Bryan winning Money in the Bank again is, one, we've already seen it, and I know some people can make the argument that CM Punk won it twice. Edge, well, he didn't win the match twice, but he won the briefcase twice and he cashed it in. But I don't know. I would much rather see Daniel Bryan earn his way into the title picture, and I guess he could do that by winning the Money in the Bank match, but I would much rather see him, you know, be built up without the Money in the Bank briefcase. We've already seen that storyline once, and I know it was with the SmackDown one, and this time it's with the Raw one, but I wouldn't be close. I better ways of putting him in the title picture than the Money in the Bank briefcase. When he won the SmackDown Money in the Bank briefcase, he said he was going to cash it in the Mania, didn't cash it in at an opportune moment, and won the World Championship shortly thereafter. So that's my problem with this storyline. If he was to cash in on the WWE Championship, he would more than likely have to go heel, because I don't see them doing a face-versus-face feud if Bryan was to cash in on Cena with the Money in the Bank briefcase. And I don't want to see go through the whole heel turn thing again, because like I said before, this guy's four guys in the company, and they don't need him as a heel for the time being. So I don't know. Again, I wouldn't be opposed to it, but I would love, again, this isn't likely, but I would love to see Mark Henry win the WWE Championship. And then you have Daniel Bryan, either if he was to win the briefcase, either have him announce that he's going to cash in ahead of time, or he doesn't win the briefcase and goes for the title anyway. You do Henry versus Bryan for the championship, do a David versus Goliath kind of thing like he did in late 2011 over the world title, which was a great, great match on SmackDown, I think it was, in a steel cage match. But you do that once again, this time over the WWE title. I think that could be a great angle to get D. Bryan to the WWE title picture.
Yeah, I could see that too. But you said that we've already seen the Daniel Bryan win the Money in the Bank, and I think that the Raw Money in the Bank picture is a lot more significant than SmackDown. Of course, both of them are for world titles, but we've seen him win SmackDown. We've never seen him win Raw. And I think that would really boost him up, and he even talked about it on Monday. He said to Kane, I want to win a WWE Championship. And Kane responded back and everything, But I think that they have something big planned for Daniel Bryan. I think it'll come out of this Jonathan Mark Henry feud.
Yeah, I think it's possible. I mean, like you just said, they mentioned it on Monday with D. Bryan hinting at a potential WWE title match. So they definitely do have big plans for Daniel Bryan. I just don't hope that it ends up in a heel turn, because he's one of the most over guys in the company. And with all the top faces that they have right now, and they have a lot of good heels too, but if you look at all the faces right now, there's a lot of top faces. We have Ziggler, Punk, Bryan, Cena, Orton, Sheamus, Kane, Jericho. There's so many top faces in the title picture at this moment. So one of them's bound to turn eventually. I just don't hope it's in Bryan. It has to be for you. Randy Orton should be the one to turn heel and his view to be Bryan, because he is long overdue for his heel. He works much better as a heel. He gets reactions as a face. He's very, very over, but he works much better as a heel, and I think if he can turn on one of the most companies, Daniel Bryan, it would be a brilliant move and a good way to progress the rest of the summer going into SummerSlam.
Yeah, I could definitely see that. So, do you have any last thoughts on Payback before we move into Monday Night Raw?
Nope, I don't think so.
All right, so we open up the show. Del Rio comes out, gives a pretty good promo, talking about the last night's match and how he's new champion. CM Punk comes out and talks about defeating Del Rio way back when and going on hold for more than a year. And that match is created by Vicky Guerrero for the main event, CM Punk and Alberto Del Rio. They have Wade Barrett come out and faces a returning Christian in a singles match. Christian wins that after getting a nice pop. Then we have handicap match, Sheamus versus Rhodes Scholars. Rhodes Scholars win that one. We have our next match, Randy Orton versus Daniel Bryan in a no disqualification match, which was voted on the WWE app. Randy Orton wins this one after Daniel Bryan is ruled too injured to continue by the doctor. And then afterwards we have AJ come out and give a promo about her title. And then Stephanie McMahon comes out, says that AJ is not being a good champion right now. She's tearing down all the other women in the locker room. And then all the other divas come out and looks to attack AJ before Biggie Langston finally comes out and saves AJ. So we have the United States title match, Kane versus Dean Ambrose. Kane wins by disqualification after the rest of the Shield comes and attacks him. Then we have Antonio Cesaro versus William Regal. Antonio Cesaro now is Zeb Coulter. Antonio Cesaro wins this one with the neutralizer. Then we have John Cena come out, talk about the WWE champion, talk about the championship, talk about how it's going to be, how the next champion is going to earn it, yada, 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 basic Cena promo. Mark Henry comes out, gives what everyone thinks is his retirement promo, hits everyone right in the field, just fantastic acting. And then he hits John Cena with the world's strongest slam. That feud, it looks like it's going to happen. He takes the title and throws it at John Cena and then says, that's what I do, before he goes up the ramp. And just great piece right there. Then we have Heath Slater versus Chris Jericho. Quick match. Chris Jericho wins that one. Another quick match, Sin Cara versus Curtis Axel. Axel wins this one. Then we have our main event, CM Punk taking on Alberto Del Rio. Dolph Ziggler comes out and unloads on Alberto Del Rio, and CM Punk is announced the winner by countout. But then after the match, Brock Lesnar, his music comes out. He hits CM Punk with an F5, and that is the end of the show. That's another thing that's going to happen. What was your overall thoughts on the show?
Best episode of Raw 2013, hands down. It was so brilliantly booked. Every single segment I absolutely loved. We have Christian returning. We have Reno, a strong heel with a good promo to kick off the show with CM Punk. We had Jericho winning a match. We had Sandow pinning Sheamus clean, which was great. We had a good match between Orton and D-Bry, which ended in no contest, but that wasn't their fault. Daniel Bryan got hurt, and they're having a rematch on SmackDown. They finally put focus on the Divas division for once. Great, great segment. AJ Lee could not be happy that she's the new Divas champion. Kane and Ambrose, the minute match between them, that was a great match, but it's fine for what it was. William Regal on Raw, if there's anything involving William Regal on Raw, it's the best episode of the year, hands down, but there were so many other things to go that were so noteworthy. This is just icing on the cake. Cesaro and Coulter, great pairing. I'm very glad those two are finally pairing up. Like I said earlier on in the show, Henry's performance on Raw was nothing short of epic. Great, great segment, great acting as well. Cannot wait for their match, Cena and Henry, for the WWE title next month at Money in the Bank. Jericho and Heath Slater, fine match. Curtis and Sin Cara, fine match. Then the main event, Punk and Del Rio. We haven't seen this match since 2011. And I'm glad they touched upon that, too, when they were feuding over the WWE title. So I'm glad they had their match. Del Rio gets protected via the countout, via the countout loss. Then Ziggler comes out. He gets a good reaction from the crowd, a good babyface reaction. So that's a good feud. I'm finally interested in the world title picture for once. And then we have Brock Lesnar come out and attack CM Punk in the dream feud I've personally been waiting for since the day after WrestleMania 2008, or 2028, I should say, when Brock Lesnar returned to the company. A great summer storyline and a great way to kick off the summer in WWE. Lots of things to look forward to. And overall, phenomenal edition of Monday Night Raw, and I cannot wait for next week.
Yeah, next week's going to be really good. And next week is going to be very pivotal in going into the next pay-per-view, because now they've sorted up all these feuds. It's how they build on them. And next week and the week after that are going to be huge for building on these feuds. Let's see, Money in the Bank is not that far away. I forget the actual date. Let me look it up here real quick. It's going to be on July 14th. That's about 3 weeks. I believe it's 3 weeks from this Sunday. Let's see.
Yes. Yes, correct.
Yeah, 3 weeks from this Sunday. That is a very short turnaround. They'll have, and they've already started off all these feuds very well. Brock Lesnar and CM Punk, John Cena and Mark Henry. This is setting up to be a pretty good pay-per-view, and of course could be in a great wrestling town in Philadelphia. That's always a hot show. It's going to be a very good pay-per-view, or not so good pay-per-view, depending on how well they build up the feud. If they fall short, Mark Henry and John Cena next week, it's not going to be as good in the following week. Same with CM Punk and Brock Lesnar. And you know Brock Lesnar. CM Punk's going to open up the show next week because it left on the cliffhanger. So it really all depends on how they do next week. If they do well next week, Money in the Bank will be better than Payback.
So, I don't see Lesnar versus Punk happening at Money in the Bank. I see that happening at SummerSlam, because remember, like with Triple H and Lesnar, that didn't happen at the subsequent pay-per-view that happened a number of months later at SummerSlam. So, I think if they build this up until SummerSlam, they take their time to have epic promos between Heyman and Punk, and then Lesnar's kind of eventual matchup between Punk and Lesnar, which we've been talking about here on Spoilers for months upon, has the potential to be a great, great match. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to that. And, yeah, as long as they build it up right in the next few months, then I'm looking forward to it. SummerSlam has the potential to be great if they do Cena and Bryan or Cena and Henry to bring Nash, and they have Punk versus Lesnar, which would hopefully main event. If it doesn't main event, I would be very, very pissed. If Brock Lesnar versus Triple H could main event last year, I don't see why Punk versus Lesnar should have main event this year. The buy rate could be huge. I know Triple H versus Lesnar versus for last year's SummerSlam event, got one of the biggest SummerSlam buy rates in recent history. So they should definitely pop a bigger buy rate, with Punk having a bigger, more relevant fan base right now than Brock Lesnar, and this is being one of the most anticipated matches of all time. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to that. And even if they have another rumored matchup, which might take place at SummerSlam, the Shield versus the Brothers of Destruction for the tag team titles, which would be amazing. So SummerSlam, I think, for once, could be a very much-watched show, a very prestigious pay-per-view as it once was. If they continue with this, right? Like you said, it could be one hell of a summer going forward. But on that note, we do have a caller on the line, area code 917. Please state your name, where you're from, and your thoughts on Monday Night Raw from this past week.
Hey, Graham, what's going on, man? It's JCG. Long time no talk. Hey, yeah, I thought Raw was phenomenal. The one thing that everyone has to take into potential consideration for this week is, especially with the Punk Lesnar stuff, is that there's so much time between now and SummerSlam, I wouldn't expect this week's show to even come close to last week. You're probably going to get a lot more focus now on Cena and Henry. Henry will probably have to squash somebody to look really strong. Cena's going to come out and do a promo. So there's two of your big segments right there. Lesnar's probably not going to be on the show. Del Rio will probably have to morph, even though he's 100% there. They'll do more to make Del Rio, you know, look like the heel. You know, as far as SummerSlam goes, you know, Punk Lesnar, I did a SummerSlam preview before WrestleMania, and I called that as my main event. So I'm glad to see it happening. And, you know, the interesting thing's going to be, I think the most interesting thing you want to see really develop Monday night, especially with the way they had a scramble, is the key is going to be how well they continue to build up Daniel Bryan coming off Monday night's little audible. The thing that scares me about Raw this Monday is you might be more McMahon heavy.
I hope not. Yeah, that was, I have to mention, too, the whole drama involving the McMahons. It was kind of put to the side this past Monday night, but I don't understand what they're trying to prove with the whole power struggle with Stephanie, Vince, and Triple H. I hope that's not one of their big angles going forward, because I don't know what the end game is for that. Like you said, they have Cena and Henry. They have the whole Del Rio thing going on right now, Punk and Lesnar. And usually the Raws after every pay-per-view are usually hot because they jump, you know, they jumpstart all the new feuds and new rivalries and all that stuff. So it makes sense, like the night after WrestleMania being a prime example. So I would completely understand if the upcoming edition of Raw isn't as great as it's from this past week, to kind of slow things down a little bit and they wait a few weeks. Maybe the week after it's going to be hot. I'm not really sure. But, yeah, I completely agree with you. And I hope, I really, really, truly hope that they do not make the McMahon stuff the primary focus of the show. They have much more entertaining stuff going on right now, because I don't know why they're being overexposed on television as much as they are, because the whole angle, in my personal opinion, doesn't make much sense.
No, and we were talking about this Tuesday night. You know, what if this all leads to, like, some sort of, kind of like a repeat of WrestleMania 2000, a McMahon in every corner in a power struggle match. We, you know, maybe at SummerSlam, maybe Survivor Series, or heaven forbid they stretch it to WrestleMania. The only way I want to even see that at all is if they use three young guys and give these guys the rub, one coming from Triple H, one coming from Vince, one coming from, you know, Stephanie, and give them a high-profile match. Other than that, I have no interest in any type of Hunter-Vince match on their own, or, you know, Stephanie turning heel on Hunter, you know. So yeah, I have a feeling we're going to be a little more McMahon heavy this weekend. Plus, you know, you're probably looking at Ryback maybe having to come back this week, and, you know, you'll probably get something with Christian.
Yeah, Christian too. It depends what they end up doing with him, if they put him in the Money in the Bank match or what. But, yeah, I'm looking forward to that. And that's a good idea, too, if they end up having the representative kind of thing with the McMahons. I don't know if they would put Curtis Axel in McMahon's corner, because he's kind of with Heyman, so I'm not really sure about that. Or if Triple H would be wrestling Axel at SummerSlam, another match I really don't want to see, because in that case, Curtis Axel would have to lose, or they would definitely make him lose against Triple H at SummerSlam. So I don't know what they do with this feud, and I hope it doesn't lead to a Triple H and Vince match at SummerSlam, because there is no way in hell that match would be happening in 2013 on pay-per-view. So I hope that they just dissolve it quickly, or they do that kind of matchup, which could benefit young guys in the process.
Well, I'll take Axel Triple H at SummerSlam if you're going to tell me Axel's going to retain the IC title and actually put him over. It's the same thing with the Shield against the Brothers of Destruction for the tag belt. Kane and Undertaker are not going to be tag team champions. So why that match doesn't upset me is because no matter what happens, the Shield is going to walk out of SummerSlam with the tag belt. So whether they go over the Brothers of Destruction or it's a, you know, some sort of false finish, that doesn't concern me as much, because the Shield at the end of the day will still be the champ. Axel, Triple H, I'll take it, but Axel's got to beat him, and Axel has to retain the IC title, which the only silver lining in that is, can anyone really see Triple H as IC champion right now?
Yeah, exactly.
No.
I don't think that's another issue, too, if they were to put that match on pay-per-view and not put the title on the line. If they're going to make that match and make it a title match, they would have to put the emphasis on the championship, make it more meaningful in the process, and try to have Axel retain. But I do fear that they might do, like, the Orton and Cody Rhodes feud that they did a few years ago, and Orton beat Cody Rhodes on pay-per-view a few times, but he never actually went for the championship. That doesn't make much sense to me. So I would hope that if they were to do this match, non-title Triple H is going over hands down, which is something I don't want to see. But if they try to make it more prestigious with the title, then, yeah, Axel going over is definitely the best bet.
Yeah, and it's the same thing with the tag title match. If it's a non-title match, then I'm going to be honest with you, I lose all my interest in it, because it's obvious the Shield are going to lose. But if you tell me the tag titles are on the line, the Shield against the reunited Brothers of Destruction, I'm buying into that 100%.
Exactly, exactly.
Yeah, indeed. So, speaking of the tag team titles, the Shield have it right now. Do you think that we'll see them at Money in the Bank with the titles on the line, or do you think we'll see the Shield in the Money in the Bank ladder match, or both?
That's a good question. I'm not really sure, because right now they're still kind of feuding with Kane, which is probably setting up that Brothers of Destruction versus Shield match or SummerSlam, but in the meantime, I don't know what you do with these guys. You could put them in the Money in the Bank match. Some people are predicting an Ambrose victory. I don't see that happening, quite honestly. I do think he should win, maybe in some point in the future, but as soon as right now, and then kind of maybe teasing tension between the members, maybe, but I don't see that being a top possibility right now. Maybe you could do at Summer or at Money in the Bank, you could do maybe the Shield versus Kane, and then maybe reunite Jericho and Christian for right now. I don't know what you do. Or if you were to go that case, if you were to go that way, I think, actually, I was thinking about this a few days ago, you have Kane tag up with Christian and Jericho, and Jericho, I guess, from what I've heard, is supposed to be leaving after Money in the Bank. So the Shield can get heat by beating that trio, injuring Jericho, and Jericho leaves, and then from there you can do Ambrose versus Christian for the U.S. Championship at SummerSlam, and then you kind of part off and do Rollins and Reigns versus the Brothers of Destruction. Even in that match, I don't know if it would be 3-on-2 or Rollins and Reigns, I'm not sure, but because remember, the streak is broken, too, so if they were going to do a 3-on-2 match and the Shield loses, it's fine, just the streak a few weeks ago on SmackDown versus Reigns, and I don't know why they did it on SmackDown. I like the fact the streak's over, I'm fine with that, because over like crazy when D-Bro broke, it was amazing, but the fact that it's on SmackDown with any real promotion behind it was kind of strange, but if they're putting the Money in the Bank match would be fine, some sort of six-man tag team match with Jericho, Christian, and Kane, which is kind of far-fetched right now.
Yeah,
what about with the Usos being supposedly primed for a tag title run, just to get some filler, what if you do the Reigns and Rollins against the Usos? And even though he doesn't have to win, you put Ambrose in the Money in the Bank match.
Yeah, that works.
Yeah.
You put Ambrose and Kane in Money in the Bank to kind of keep that going, and maybe you have Kane like choke slam Ambrose on a ladder or through the table, basically taking him out of the match, which would justify that feud continuing going into SummerSlam.
Yeah, that'd be better than having another Ambrose-Kane match, because, I mean, the matches are decent at best, but their matches over the last week, the three matches they've had in the last week were nothing all that inspiring. So I'm hoping that they don't continue that feud. They just kind of do the Shield versus Kane and then kind of lead into that Brothers of Destruction thing later down the line. But, yeah, I like the idea of doing Usos versus the Shield at the Money in the Bank pay-per-view, because they had some sort of an altercation this week on main event, so that would work. And then you can put Ambrose in the Money in the Bank match and have people think that he might win, but then, I don't know, the gong goes off and they prevent him from winning. I don't know. You could do something like that. But, yeah, the Usos.
Yeah, or you could have
Money
you could have those guys, even with Kane in the Money in the Bank match as well, you could have the other two guys cost Kane the match or, yeah, exactly, something to keep them all circular heading into SummerSlam.
Exactly, yeah, that'd probably be the best way to further the feud between all three guys and then kind of tease a match at SummerSlam in the process.
Yeah, so the thing with not having all three of the Shield members in the Money in the Bank match is even if it's just Dean Ambrose in the Money in the Bank match, then Seth Rollins and Roman Reigns are obviously going to be involved in the match, even though they're not a part of the match because no disqualification, they can do that. I'm going to have a tough time believing that he wouldn't win with if he's got two other members who aren't going after winning the briefcase. They're just trying to help him. If Dean Ambrose doesn't win that briefcase, then that's very, very unbelievable. So I think that they have to be in the match because then they're all three kind of going for the briefcase. Maybe there's some discontent in that group and someone else sneaks up and wins that briefcase.
Yeah, but if there's only one last Money in the Bank match, that's too many guys in that match, especially if there's only going to be one like they're tossing around. That's too many guys already right there. You've got too many other guys that can take a spot in that match to put Rollins, Reigns, and Ambrose in. I get what you're saying with the specter of the other two helping him out, and that would make Ambrose seem like the favorite, and that would make for some good TV leading into Money in the Bank. But to put all three of them in, it's too much, especially if they're only going to do one like they're talking about. They may not do two this year.
Yeah.
They have a lack of roster right now. So, I mean, because remember last year, They had two matches, but one of those matches was only compromised of 4 to 5 people with Cena, Big Show, Kane, Jericho, and Miz. Those are all top stars, and with the top stars not being in the match this year, I mean, they're safe, but I don't know. But even still, I don't see them doing 2 8-man Money in the Bank ladder matches. We don't have enough stars for that, much less one. So, yeah, if they're going to just do one, I don't see all three members being one. But if they're going to do two, maybe on the Raw side you could put those guys in all together.
You can do it. It's just, you know, you're going to – all of a sudden you're going to make some guys that haven't been important for months, you're going to make them important again. Like, even if you go with the three Shield guys, that's three guys right there. Now let's just throw 5 other names out there. Rhodes, Sandow, Barrett, Miz, Christian. So there's your 8-for-1 match. Then you got Ziggler, Cesaro, Swagger, you know, Ryback, you know, Kane. You've got Sheamus, maybe, you know, now
Brian Orton.
Know, maybe, well, I think Brian Orton is going one on one. I think they're going to go one on one at the pay per view. You know, so you can do it. It's just, but now all of a sudden, I'm supposed to take Wade Barrett as a serious threat. I'm supposed to take Ryback as a serious threat. Cody Rhodes is a serious threat. You know, they always throw that one oddball guy in there. So, you know, now I'm supposed to take R-Truth as a serious threat. It's, you know, it would be hard. The one match just makes more sense, but to put three guys in there, even if you're going to do a 10-man Money in the Bank match like they've done at the WrestleManias, I think it's too much.
Yeah, I think with Sandow feuding with Sheamus at the moment, I can see those two being inserted in there. I don't know about a one-on-one Daniel Bryan Orton match. I mean, it's possible. I would say that they would both be inserted into the match. Maybe they have some tension there leading to a one-on-one match at SummerSlam if they're going to go with either or guy turning. But, yeah, I think they do have enough superstars to do both eight-man matches. But it depends on who they have win. I mean, I think that they could have Cesaro, Barrett, or Rhodes win. But then again, all three of those guys haven't been relevant in months. And then having them win, I mean, maybe it would be a big shocker. I don't know, because that's why they're building Cesaro at the moment. But it could be Jack Swagger all over again. When they have some guy that's losing for months, win the matchup, the only issue with Swagger is that they had him cash in days later. But if they had a guy like Cesaro win, they had him hold on to the briefcase for a while, like Ziggler did, maybe then they could have finally a legit Money in the Bank holder for the time being. And as far as Swagger, there were reports of having Ziggler in the matchup, but doesn't he have a rematch clause, though? I don't get that.
Yeah, I don't get that either. Like, why would you put him in to win it, to cash in at SummerSlam, when he just gets an automatic rematch anyway? And on top of that, who would Swagger face at Money in the Bank? I mean, not Swagger, Del Rio face at Money in the Bank. So, yeah, the Swagger stuff,
yeah.
I saw that. I mean, the Ziggler stuff, I saw that. It makes no sense whatsoever. You know, that's what's, like, stupid. Just real quick, you mentioned Swagger from a few years ago. The problem with Swagger always was, it wasn't so much that he cashed in a week later on a SmackDown. The problem was, instead of him feuding with Jericho and Edge leading into Extreme Rules and even Over the Edge, they put him in a no-sense, no-build-up match with Orton and then put him in a stupid feud with Big Show. That's what killed Swagger. They booked him bad. If Swagger would have feuded with Jericho and Edge before Edge turned, and Jericho as the pissed-off champion that got screwed, that Swagger run in 2010 would have went a lot better.
Who's this for?
Yeah, I recall what you're talking about, too. The match with Orton, the random match with Orton was completely random. They had him go over, which I liked. They had him go over clean over Orton, but, yeah, the whole feud with Big Show completely buried him because he only went over via DQ or something like that. Then he lost every title match he competed in. So that's the problem, though. I just don't see guys like Cesaro, Barrett, and Rhodes being world champions at this point in time when they're not even on TV most of the time. So that's the problem. Maybe if they build him up like Cesaro, if they start doing the Cesaro thing now with him and Zeff Bolter and have him score a few wins going into the pay-per-view when he wins, I'd be completely fine with that. But having Ziggler go in there and win it again, and then even though he has a rematch clause, that makes no sense. I think that's more just dirt cheap BS than anything.
Yeah, that works if you're a heel. That would have worked if Ziggler was still a heel, because then you could have Ziggler lose the rematch and then do something, lay out Del Rio, and cash in again. That works for a heel. That's not going to work for a face Ziggler.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Yeah. And that's going to be the problem with having two different matches. I'm all for having a SmackDown and a Raw title Money in the Bank contract, but I just don't see enough good superstars to make a good match. Now, there are a few people who were forgetting. Kofi Kingston wasn't mentioned. Evan Bourne, I think, is clear to compete, isn't he?
I believe he is.
He's
from
close.
What I last heard, they were. Yeah, he's close to coming back, I think. I think he's fine. I think he's clear to compete because he wrestled the match a couple months ago, but I think they said he was still improving or something like that. He'll be back soon. As far as Kingston goes, though, I don't think he's clear to compete. He's still injured, so I don't see him coming back in time.
Yeah, I heard Kofi's going to be back for SummerSlam, and I think the thing with Bourne was he wrestled that match against Sami Zayn, and then the problem is I think he tweaked something after or didn't feel right after, and that's when they kind of pushed him back. And it was after that when those pictures surfaced of him being, like, ridiculously jacked. So, you know, who knows even what kind of shape he's in now. He might need to actually lose weight to get back to that style that he works. So he might just be – it might just be a conditioning thing with Bourne.
Yeah. So, but there's – Sin Cara is definitely going to be in that ladder match. Big Show's not doing anything, so he'll probably be in the ladder match. There's a bunch
of
different.
I think Big Show's still injured, though, isn't he?
Oh,
yeah,
is he?
Big Show's got a shoulder. Yeah, Big Show's got a shoulder.
Okay, I thought he was cleared now.
How about this? Since you need to fill, especially if you need to fill guys for two matches, what if you do kind of what you did at the Royal Rumble, where you have like a little mini NXT tournament? And to give one guy a shot in each match, and use that kind of as a way to introduce two new talents, maybe a Cassius Ohno or, you know, Corey Graves or, you know, guys like that. What about something like that maybe, just to, you know, fill the spots and then on top of that introduce some new talent?
Definitely. They're doing that right now with, what's his name, Jay Bradley, I think, at TNA when they had him compete, and he's now in the Bound for Glory
series.
Yeah, I would love to see something like that. They did that with the Royal Rumble, like you said, with Bo Dallas. So, yeah, you bring up, I don't know, whoever they have looming in NXT at the moment. I don't watch NXT. Maybe like Corey Graves, maybe? I don't know. But
let me tell you something. You're not watching NXT, you're missing probably the best show in the entire business right now.
Yeah, I heard it's great.
It is. And as far as Bo Dallas goes, his work he's doing now is like he's starting to turn from like the smiley baby face to like the guy that like is trying to like cheat and be sneaky but still be a smiley baby face. Like that's kind of how he beat Langston for the NXT title. So Dallas's character has actually taken a little bit of a turn, and they've actually mentioned the fact that he was on the main roster for like a month and then got sent back down because he wasn't good enough. So they're actually doing some good stuff with Dallas, too.
Oh, that's good to hear, then. That is improving, because there's been a lot of heat on him, as far as fans go, since his when he was called up at the Royal Rumble. So that's good to hear.
And then, more importantly, what do we do with Van Damme?
I have no idea.
I don't see him winning.
Put him in for...
I mean, I think it's happening, though.
If there's one,
but there's another guy.
I'm thinking if there's only one Money in the Bank match, then he won't be participating. If there's two, I think he will. If there's only one, then I could see him going after Axel's title or Ambrose's title. But I think Ambrose and Kane are going to be continuing that. So I think it's more likely that he goes after Axel in the Intercontinental Championship and tries to work with that. But like I said, if there's two Money in the Bank matches, I think he'll be part of that.
How about Van Damme Punk?
Against one another. I mean,
Punk's going to need something to do.
Coming back at the face, right?
Well, you could think that, and then, you know, he's the ultimate Paul Heyman guy.
Well, yeah, that works.
You know, and, I mean, you'd have to tweak history a little, but you can even have Van Damme be like, you know what, Paul Heyman was the only guy that stood by me in 2006 when the entire company turned its back on me. You know, I mean, you'd have to take off the fact that Heyman sided with Big Show after that, but there's a few ways for RVD to come back as a heel, as a Paul Heyman guy, and have some good matches with Punk.
I would like to see that, yeah. I was going to say maybe you could do Punk, and I don't see this happening because I don't see this happening in Money in the Bank or SummerSlam. I think we're just going to go with just Punk Lesnar and then leave Punk off the Money in the Bank show. But you could do Punk and RVD versus Axel and Lesnar, and I think that might be too high-profile of a matchup for Axel in right now. But, yeah, I think RVD and Axel, or maybe even Punk and RVD would be great if they were to have RVD return as a heel. Yeah, RVD and Punk, like I said earlier on, I think it's a dream match, and they have to do that at some point.
Yeah, you'll get it. Maybe that's the post-SummerSlam thing that Punk does, you know, when Lesnar takes off again. Especially if they're,
yeah.
You know, I mean, for all the talk about the McMahon storyline, maybe culminating at Survivor Series, there has been some stuff of a Paul Heyman stable, maybe against, and you know, obviously an anti-Paul Heyman stable at Survivor Series. So you could do Lesnar, Van Damme, Axel, and, you know, Heyman could always grab one other person. I know Big Show, I think on the pre-show to Payback or on WWE.com said he's a Paul Heyman guy. So you could always put Show with them against Punk and three other guys.
Yeah. Yeah, I would love to see that. I wanted to see that last year, but then they switched it up a little bit, and Lesnar wasn't back in time for that pay-per-view. But, yeah, I would love to see that this year, though.
Yeah. It'll be interesting to see where everything goes next, because that adds a whole new element that I hadn't even been thinking about. Right now we've got only two confirmed matches, I guess. We've got at least one Money in the Bank match, and then John Cena versus Mark Henry for the WWE title. That's confirmed. We'll probably have a Divas match because AJ Caitlin's not going away, or rather AJ versus the entire Divas roster. That's not going away. And then probably have a tag team title match, Orton versus Daniel Bryan. So we've got two confirmed matches, then a whole slevy of other possible matches. So it's pretty fun just going and speculating on what we might see coming up in 3 weeks. And then right after that, we've got one of the big four pay-per-views. So there's a lot of good stuff coming ahead this summer.
Yeah, definitely. It teased a lot of good stuff on Monday's Raw, a lot of cool storylines. And I said this a few days ago, but I think right now, first time in a long time, that I'm interested in every division they have at the moment, or as far as every title. They have the world title feud is finally interesting with Del Rio and Ziggler, the whole double turn thing that no one saw coming. The WWE title picture with Henry and Cena, very intriguing, very great segment from Monday's Raw. Dean Ambrose is the United States champion, should be great. Same thing with the Shield as the tag team champions. They're kind of bringing back that division little by little. And they have the Divas division is finally relevant with AJ and Caitlin after their great match at Payback. So, yeah, they have a lot of potential. And then the IC title, too, with Axel. And that was a great moment on Payback when he won the title on Father's Day. So there's a lot to offer right now. I mean, event scene, the Divas division, everything. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to what they can produce in coming months.
Yeah, definitely. And it's not just this next month. It's going through at least SummerSlam, which is mid-August, or it's late August. Off to check, and then right after SummerSlam, they keep changing up the dates of the pay-per-views on me. Is it Night of Champions after SummerSlam?
Yeah, Night of Champions is after SummerSlam. And one thing you guys, you know, you got to remember too, which is going to really be, you know, a big plus, and it's going to lead to some excitement with the names mentioned, is the new developmental center complex is opening probably in the next 2 weeks, and get ready for a load of names that are going to get signed.
I just read a report that CM Punk's trying to get a Colt Cabana job with the WWE.
Yep, as a commentator. Yeah.
That'd be awesome.
Yeah, that'd be really cool.
Yep, and you know, you still got your Sami Callihan signed, your Sami Del Sol signed, your Rutgers signed, the two guys they signed from Long Island, and there's a couple of reports, despite what he says in interviews, that Mike Bennett is pretty much a done deal. He's just waiting for a date to start developmental. And when they get Bennett, if you guys haven't seen Bennett live or seen any of his stuff in RA, Bennett's going to be the total package. Bennett's going to be the guy that when they look at it 2 years from now, they're going to say, who was the first guy from this new developmental system and complex that really broke out to a big, big star? It's going to be Bennett.
He's the one with Maria, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, he's a great talent. Yeah, I've seen him on the indie scene a few times.
Yeah, I haven't seen that much from him, but if he's anything like you're saying, I'm very excited to take a look at him. I'll have to go
and
look at him.
It's not even just his matches. It's the whole character, the persona, the look. Like, I've seen all his stuff on YouTube or video, whatever, and then I saw him live at an FWE show right before Christmas, I want to say. And he's got such a charisma to him. Like, he's literally going to be, he's a douchebag heel. And almost to the point, and I know this is a big comparison, but almost to a point when Edge was just a jerk and a scumbag, like, that's the guy Bennett can be.
Ooh,
if they can maintain that character in WWE, then I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, me too. They need really someone who can come in and dominate the heels and be that guy. Like, right now, they're still trying to get a really top heel, and looks like it's going to be Mark Henry for the next month or two, but they need a long-standing heel like Edge was. And Edge is fantastic at it. And so I hope that they have, I hope that if he's like you're saying, he can come in and he can kind of be that franchise heel.
Yeah, definitely.
If they let him be him.
Okay, let's talk a little bit, going back into the show, the Divas title. And AJ is the new champion, and she gets confronted by Stephanie McMahon. And when you get a McMahon involved, you know that they're putting some effort into this storyline. Where do you see the Divas title feud and AJ and Kevin going from here?
Well, I like the feud just the way it is for right now, with just AJ and Kaitlyn having the rematch at Money in the Bank. Like I said earlier on, Divas match of the year up to this point. Probably, you could just say it right now, Divas match of the year, hands down, because I don't see any of their match topping that unless they bring back Karma or something. So, that being said, I like the fact they're finally bringing back the history between AJ and Kaitlyn. We've been talking about this for months. We were talking about this back in January, that they should do this at WrestleMania, and they finally did it 3 months later, but I guess it's better late than never, but nonetheless, AJ's Divas Champion is finally bringing some eyes to the division. Stephanie McMahon involved with the division on Monday's Raw. And that brings up an interesting question, too. Will we see Stephanie versus AJ at some point in time for the Divas title? I would hope not. She's already had kids and whatever. I can't even remember the last time she was in the ring, so I don't know if that's a possibility or not. But even still, though, AJ versus Kaitlyn, rematch at Money in the Bank, I'm looking forward to it. And she's a top heel right now. And it also brings up another interesting question. Will she turn face with Dolph Ziggler and Big E Langston? The same thing goes for Big E. I wouldn't, because she's a top heel in the division right now, and no one's better than her. So I wouldn't think that she turns face. Maybe she kind of breaks off from Ziggler. I don't know. We'll have to wait and see, because they did not appear together this past week on Raw, because Ziggler appeared at the end of the show. But, I'm looking forward to this feud culminating at the Money in the Bank pay-per-view, and then from that point forward. And I think it is kind of the Trish Stratus versus Lita of this generation, not on a much lesser scale, but it is kind of what that was back in the day.
Definitely. And one thing that they have really been missing since so many of their stars have left, Kelly and Eve and all those, so many of their stars have left in the past couple of years, they have to form new identities, form feuds, and to have a long-standing feud like Kaitlyn and AJ are building right now, if they continue that for the next few years,
not necessarily them facing off every single pay-per-view, but always that tension, you know, kind of like Shawn Michaels and The Undertaker had, then that's going to be good for the Divas division because that always keeps something in the back of people's minds.
Yeah, definitely. I think this is a feud, too, that they can keep going back to because I heard someone mention this. I think it was on my other show, Save It GSM, Kyle was mentioning this last night, that this is a feud that they can keep going back to. Because remember, these two, AJ and Caitlin, have had history since NXT Season 3 in September of 2010. Even before that, back in FCW. So these ladies have history together. And this is a feud that they can keep going back to. They brought it back when AJ signed the SmackDown roster of May of 2011, and then when AJ was general manager, or even before that, when she was with Brian, and they teased it, and she slapped Caitlin. This feud has history. It's not one of those Divas feuds where it's Diva Challenger of the Month, and it's Alicia Fox versus AJ 1 month, and it's AJ versus Natalya next month. It's not like that at all. This is a feud that has history behind it. It has a story. Caitlin cried, legitimately cried, after losing the Divas title at Payback. That shows how much meaning the title has to her. So that helps, you know, bring back interest in the division, the title itself, her character, AJ's character. There's just a lot to love in the division right now. I'm loving it.
Yeah, and I really like AJ as the Divas champion. I think she's one of the stronger Divas on the roster, and I hope that she stays champion for a while unless they've got a good storyline with Caitlin or with Layla, or hell, even Stephanie. They won't have Stephanie wrestle, of course not. But I think what they might do, and what I could see them doing, is making Stephanie kind of a Divas manager. You know, and this is something I've been advocating for a while because it keeps someone who is just focused on the Divas. It keeps them on the show, and it makes good feuds, good matches. And I think Stephanie McMahon would be a great choice if she's looking to stay on with the WWE for a while. If she's just going to be there just for a little bit, then forget about it. But if that's in the case, I'd love to see her do some kind of thing with that role.
Do you see her contending for the title at some point, or do you just kind of see it being just kind of an on-air feud and not really kind of progressing to the ring?
Sorry, what was that?
Do you see the Stephanie McMahon-AJ feud kind of going into the ring and having Stephanie go for the title at SummerSlam, or do you just kind of seeing a back-and-forth thing on television?
I think it just could be a back-and-forth thing on television. I don't think Stephanie's in any shape to... I don't think she ever really was in any real shape to perform, but, and especially now, I don't think that she's going to be a person who you're going to want to see in the ring. I think she's going to be more of a voice for the Diva, for those other Divas, kind of like she was on Monday night. She's coming out and telling AJ she's not a good champion because she manipulates people and she tears all the other women down. I think she could be more of a voice for the Divas who aren't necessarily good on the mic. Now, Caitlin can kind of take care of herself, but I see Stephanie kind of being a good veteran personnel person that would be voice for the Divas division that kind of gets people interested in it.
Yeah, I agree. And what if they had the rematch between Caitlin and AJ, Money in the Bank, AJ retains obviously, and then based on Raw, AJ was saying that there's no one in the division that can beat her, and she has beaten most of the Divas in the back, so that's understandable. But what after Money in the Bank, Stephanie says, oh, I signed a new Diva for you to face, and it's Paige, and then you do AJ versus Paige for the Divas Championship.
Yes.
How about that?
Yes.
Yeah, that would be awesome.
Whenever you get Paige on the roster, I mean, it's long overdue at this point.
Yeah.
How long has she been with the WWE but not on TV?
Long time, I think.
I think
years, maybe?
Yeah,
sure.
I think she's going on almost 2 years or so.
Yeah.
But she's literally, again, going back to NXT, she's literally worked her way from, like, literally the bottom
to being the top diva. Forget about her on NXT and the whole entire company. Like, she's going to be the Trish, the Lita, the Mickey, the best. She's going to be all of that. And if they ever let Summer Rae break away from Fandango, there's your new modern-day Trish-Lita rivalry. Forget about AJ and Paige. Go on YouTube. Watch some of NXT with the Summer Rae and Paige feud. Forget it. That's the feud the division's going to be built around for the next few years.
Yeah, hopefully. Yeah, she's
they have Summer Rae with Fandango. Eventually, when they break those two up and they have her go into the ring more often, then they can kind of transcend her into the division a little bit more. And that should have done with the... That was a long time ago. Now, they've been with Curtis Blades maybe for over a year and a half now, and they're still with them. Naomi is a very good in-ring competitor, so I'm very surprised they have yet to have her go off on her own and go off to the championship, because she wrestled for the title against Eve, I think, at TLC last year, and they had a very good match. So she's another one that can kind of break off and have good matches in the division, especially with someone like AJ.
Yeah, and I'm a little interested after last night. They wrestled a little more heel style last night. I'm wondering if this is the start of something with them maybe breaking away from Funk and Tenzai and going off on their own.
I mean, stars or something.
Let's see. She's been. I'm just looking this up. She's been with WWE development since January 5th of 2012. So she's been with the WWE for a year and a half now. I think it's high time that she makes her debut. And you know what? I could see AJ just kind of dominating the roster over the next couple of months, and then Stephanie McMahon or some other figure comes in and says, "I finally got someone to stop you," and it's Paige.
Yeah,
exactly. And having her aligned with Stephanie, yeah, I think, is the best thing, and that can help get her over.
Don't kill her because of the time spent in developmental, because remember, Hunter was the one that put the stop on just bringing guys up just for the hell of it. Hunter was the one that said, listen, you come up with a long-term plan for them, a character that's going to work, then you bring them up. That's why she's not up yet. That's why Ono's not up yet. That's why it's taken Wyatt so long to get up, you know.
Yeah, exactly. That's the best strategy.
Yeah, definitely. And if they don't have something for her, then there's no point in bringing her up. If she's still green, then there's no point in bringing her up. I don't think she's green, but then again, I haven't seen her wrestle that much. So it really would have been, they've got to be ready.
Yeah, she's the best in the division, I'm telling you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I'm excited to see it. And this is the case with all of the wrestlers that are down in WWE development. They don't have something ready long-term for them, and if they're not ready, then don't bring them up. I mean, I'm a long-suffering fan of the Kansas City Royals, and their biggest problem is they always bring their minor leaguers up too quickly, and the same situation would occur in WWE. You bring someone up too quickly, and they're not ready, they're going to crash and burn.
Well, look, they brought up as of late. I mean, with the Shield, they're by me. Them up as, you know, random jobbers. They brought them in with as the Shield, they're still going strong. Somewhat as Johnny Curtis and Michael McGillicuddy respectively, but they've got some direction too. So they're doing a lot of stuff right with the new talent as of late.
Yeah, and we don't need more jobbers. We need people who can be a solid person that can have solid matches and solid views and be consistently good.
Yeah, so. Exactly. And like, remember back in 2008 too, they started bringing in people like, you wouldn't even remember these people, like Brad Maddox, or not Brad Maddox, it was like Ryan Maddox or something like that, or Colin Delaney, if you remember him. There were a number of guys.
Mm-hmm.
You know, all those names.
It was all on ECW. Yeah, it was Braden Walker, the former Chris Harris. Yeah,
yep.
It was him. Jay Bradley came up at that point.
Yep.
Colin Delaney. Yeah, you had a lot of those guys, and not one of those guys made it because they were just there 1 week. And
exactly.
It was like, okay, who the hell is this guy? Why should I care about him? You know?
Exactly. Like, it's Scotty Goldman, a.k.a. Colt Cabana. That's why his run didn't work out, because he had him as a nameless jobber for the longest time. And when he had his own show on the website, I think, at the end of his run, they got rid of him. So I think bringing him back as a commentator would be brilliant, especially if they highlighted his relationship with CM Punk that he's on his DVD.
Yeah. Yeah, I've heard the relationship between the WWE and Cabana has gotten a lot better because of Punk, especially the last 2 years. So it's just a matter of, I don't think it's a matter of if, it's just a matter of when, but Cabana's going to have some sort of role in the company. You know, I mean,
yeah,
it's a shame he doesn't already, but he will. He'll have a role somewhere. You know, and for everyone that says, oh, he's too fat, he's too chubby, that's why TNA don't want him, he looks like a freaking bodybuilder Adonis compared to Samoa Joe. So don't dare turn around and say that Colt Cabana is too fat for TNA.
Yeah,
exactly. He's entertaining, too.
And if Samoa Joe proves anything, is that you can be a bigger guy, you can be a chubby guy and still be a great wrestler. Now, sometimes Samoa Joe's weight did kind of get in the way of him, but once he got it under control, he's fantastic, and I think he'd be the same way.
What kills Joe, and people automatically associate it to the weight, but it's not. What kills Joe is Joe just gets fed up and doesn't care for like 6 months at a time. So his work rate starts to suck, and everyone automatically assumes it's, oh, Joe must have put on 30 pounds. That's why his work sucks. Meanwhile, Joe's probably down 10 pounds. The only reason why his matches suck is because you're doing nothing with him. You've got him kidnapped and thrown into a white van, and then we never hear anything of it again. Or they're doing this with him, they're doing that with him. He's paired up with Taz, which would have been one of the greatest pairings TNA could have ever done. Next thing you know, 2 weeks later, Taz is a commentator, and Joe's back again doing whatever. It's like he's losing to Crimson. That's the problem is, but everyone will automatically take it to the scale. And, you know, it's wrong. It's not, you know, it's not the right way to look at it. But the problem with that is that because Joe is probably the most well-known name of the guys built like that, it affects a guy like Cabana. It affects a guy probably from getting a mainstream job like Kevin Steen. It affects those guys. But at the end of the day, it's because he's not being booked right and he just doesn't care.
Exactly. Like in the Bound for Glory series a couple of years ago, in the first one, they had him do nothing. They had him lose every single match that he competed in. But it wasn't until last they started using him right on most of the matches he competed in. He made it to the final four, I believe. And that was when he was motivated. That was when his matches were at his strongest point. They had him versus Aries at one point. They had him versus Hardy. A lot of great matches. I'm hoping to do the same thing with him in this year's Bound for Glory series as well.
Yeah. But you use a guy like him right, and it shows that guys that size can go. The size doesn't hold them back, okay? Because then, like you just said, Joe will be motivated and his work rate will be awesome. But when you use them like crap, now it becomes a domino effect that, oh, you know what? Guys who are 280 and not in shape, they can't work. Go just look at Samoa Joe. We don't need that on our show. You know, meanwhile, you know what? Bring Joe to WWE, and Joe would probably put on some of the best matches you'd see on any one of those shows.
Exactly. And you bring up the CM Punk relationship with Colt Cabana, and obviously, as many people know, Samoa Joe has a great friendship going on with CM Punk as well. Do you see that possibly transcending to a move to WWE for Samoa Joe, or do you think it's too late, or do you guys see him going to WWE at any point?
I still think he'll be the one, you know, of him, AJ, and Daniels. That's always been the question. Which one will jump? Which one will jump? I still think at the end of the day, before it's all said and done, he will be the one that does jump. I think Punk helps. I think the fact that Austin is a major advocate of it, and don't let anyone fool you, Austin may not be involved, but don't think that Austin's words don't have any influence on anything that Vince does. Austin, if Austin's given the stamp of approval on somebody, Vince is going to take that into consideration. So is Hunter. So, yeah, I think Joe, at some point, the biggest thing would be what the gimmick and name would be. He'd be the guy that you'd have to keep as is. You'd have to let him be Punk in the sense that you don't touch anything with my name or my character, or else I'm not coming here. Because you know what? Everyone doesn't, you know, maybe this isn't that known about Punk. But before Punk signed with WWE in late 2005, he was negotiating between WWE and TNA. And he told both of them, you don't touch my name, you don't touch my character. And the only reason why he didn't go to TNA is because when Samoa Joe debuted on whichever pay-per-view it was, he wanted to be the opponent for Joe. And he told TNA, you give us 40 minutes, and we will steal the show, and we will have the match that everyone talks about. And TNA told him, absolutely not. So he went and signed with Vince. But if Vince would have said, no, we're going to call you, you know, JT Smooth, you know, and we're going to bill you from Pittsburgh, Punk wouldn't be here right now. And Joe has to be that strong and has to be that same guy.
Yeah, and I think Vince is smart enough to realize what CM Punk has done with the WWE because he's been allowed to be himself. If Samoa Joe ever wants to come into the WWE and the WWE wants him, they'll let Joe do what he's going to do. And I think that would turn out great for both parties.
And I mean, I think it's just more the issue. A lot of people say that the character might be ruined, or if a guy like Bobby Roode made a jump, or James Storm, or AJ Styles, whatever. Sting's been a major advocate of not jumping ship because he believes that they might ruin his character. What I ask is, though, why not just jump ship and then see what happens? If it starts to not go well, and then you jump ship. Like Kaval is a prime example. He knew that his career wasn't going to go anywhere, so he left when he can easily get out. So his career wasn't ruined. So why not just jump ship? They do have to give him a new name if they don't want to give him a new name. Like you were just saying, JCD, if they offer him to keep the same name, maybe he'll jump ship. Like a guy like Austin Aries, I could see being like the Daniel Bryan in WWE as well. I'm not so much high on Daniels. I mean, I love Daniels, but I heard at one point that they turned him down, that he wanted to join WWE, but they didn't want him because he was over 40.
Yeah, because he's
too
old.
I don't know what truth there is.
Yeah. Yeah,
so, I would like
well,
to see him.
Daniels
though,
is in his 40s.
That's a possibility.
Daniels
yeah.
is in his
hey.
40s. That's the problem. Here's the thing
yeah,
with
yeah.
Sting. And, you know, everyone has seen that clip. Oh, I didn't go to WWE because when Booker T debuted, The Rock said, who are you? Okay, first of all, that's not when Booker T debuted. All right, that's number one. When Booker debuted at that King of the Ring and put Austin through that announce table, they made a big deal about it, okay? Secondly, if Sting knew anything at the time about the WWE product, he would have known that was more so about Rocky's character than it was burying Booker T. So, you know, and the fact that that's Sting's mindset, he's wrong. And if he's pitching that to other guys, like, no, don't jump, this is what they're going to do, then Sting's doing a lot of guys a misservice. As far as Rude goes, I think Rude's character, no matter what the name is, could Rude's a guy that's more about the character than it is the name, whether he was Bobby Roode, Robert Roode, whatever. A guy like Storm probably needs the full identity for everything to work. And, you know, I might be crazy with this. I think AJ needs it too. I don't think you could repackage AJ.
No.
Yeah, definitely. He's a household name for TNA. He's been a household name since day one. But, yeah, I think having him jump ship, he would definitely need the same name. Yeah.
Oh, hey guys, I'm just gonna jump in real quick. Matt Stryker just tweeted out that his contract is not gonna be renewed by the WWE.
What the hell?
So he's gone.
Right now you saw that?
Yeah, Matt Stryker just tweeted out that he was. I'll read it out loud. Was just informed by WWE that my contract will not be renewed. I am now available for appearances by any 700 of wrestling. They're wrestling.
Wow.
Here come the releases. So, yeah, this might be fine. Here come some releases.
Yep.
That's shocking, though. I mean, they have some new announcements late, too. They have that Renee Young chick they have coming up now. They have that other guy, that guy with the black hair that appears from time to time now. He's on the JBL and Cole show every week. But, yeah, they have some new announcers coming up. I'm just surprised with that because he's one of their primary announcers. He's been with WWE for a long time now, since maybe 2005, 2006. Yeah, I'm very surprised they're getting rid of him.
Yeah. But, all right, guys, I'm at work, actually, so I'm going to head off. But thanks for having me on.
Thank you for joining us.
Take care, guys.
And I think we may be done as well, unless you've got any closing thoughts.
No, he hasn't. Support to where WWE is wrestling just close from here.
Yeah, definitely. My feelings are the same. So thank you all for joining us on the 69th edition of Spoilers Podcast. You can follow me on Twitter at SirBen_WE. Find my writing at WrestleEnigma.com and also find this podcast at WrestleEnigma.com.
You guys can like me on Facebook at GreatMatthews. Follow me on Twitter and tell at @_BSM. Find his work on Bleacher Report at @GrahamGSMMatthews. Check out my website for all the WWE, TNA, rumors, recaps, and more at NextEraWrestling.Weebly.com. Check out my YouTube channel at TeddyBassy9 for all my videos and stuff. And also check out my other channel, Saves GSM, or my other show, I should say, Saves GSM, every Wednesday night at 10 o'clock Eastern Time, 9 Central Time on PW247.net. And make sure to check back for more episodes of Spoilers right here on blogtalkradio.com/WWE Radio.
All right, have a great week, folks.